Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Today is July 2nd, if you can believe that, 2020. And you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to these things which are soon taking place, and in some ways are taking place already. I'm Pastor Andre, here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we both welcome you to this morning's broadcast. If you're listening live, please join us with a cup of coffee, get your Bible and pen together, and get ready for today's discussion. And what we're going to do now is open up with a word of prayer, followed by our before Torah blessing. So, Rabbi, if you would.
Amen. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we are excited and in expectation for what you're about to do, because things are happening so fast, Father. So we quickly, each and every day, Father, ask you to forgive us for sin, for iniquity and transgression that we've done. We also ask, Father, for our forefathers on both sides of our family, for you to forgive them, the third to the fourth generation, Father God, as is the custom and was the custom of the prophet Daniel. Father, so we also follow that self-same custom. Father, we ask you to begin to cause us to fulfill the fullness of what we are supposed to do today. We submit all of our desires, all of our ambitions, and we submit it to you. We allow you to fulfill your will, allow you to fulfill what you desire and what you're wanting to happen here, in us, through us, and in this world. Father, we acknowledge that your son, Yahushua, is opening up the seals, and it's drastically changing the platform, the economic structure, the world events are hurling around us, Father. Thank you for giving us the strength and the faith to understand not to walk in fear, but to walk in expectation of your great accomplishments that you desire to do in us. We expect the supernatural to begin to happen, as the natural is being turned upside down and right side up again. We glorify you. We honor you. We bless you, we exalt you, and we esteem you high and lifted up. Your word will not come back void, and the seals will not anything else other than what you've already predetermined in history for it to fulfill. So we submit to that. We comply to that in the name of Yeshua, and it's in your name that we hide ourselves from the things that are about to befall this world and this earth. In Yeshua's name, amen. Well, Pastor Andre, pass it back to you, sir.
Amen. Hallelujah. And thank you for that prayer. What we're going to do is have our before Torah study blessing. And just to let everyone know, this is a scriptural a blessing. And any of the blessings that we do have are scriptural. And what we will desire to do is to entreat Yah before we engage in his word and to illuminate the things that we're hearing. So if you bear with me as we go ahead and get the before Torah study blessing this morning.
Ruach Ata Yehuah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kishanu B'Mitzvotav Yitzchanu La'asot B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehuah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. I'm going to go ahead and open up with our recap for this week. And as you know, we've covered a lot of ground. I want to go ahead and jump back into where we were this previous week, but let's go ahead and connect with the thoughts, the major important thoughts that we had from last week. As you remember, we were discussing Acts 2 being the beginning of the church age, and how that started during Pentecost, and we moved on to discussing how the church age is inclusive of most of the tribulation period. Now, that is in direct opposition to what many people have understood. So I want to be sensitive to that and understand so we can continue to build upon this concept. We discussed that the Feast of Yah are a part of his starting and stopping watch, if you will. They are part of his Rolex watch. And they start and stop major historical events. Now, we also talked about Daniel's 70 weeks pertaining to, with respect to the weeks aspect and how that's connected with the concept of the starting and stopping time. One of the things that we did go into depth was talking about the fifth seal. And we talked about how the stars had fallen from heaven and opened the bottomless pit. We talked about the locusts coming up and them causing pain for a certain amount of time, but them not being able to touch the people of God with the mark of God. That was very important. And we had taken a little bit of a segue to talk about the 144,000, the fact that they were being sealed, and the fact that their job was to share the gospel and to evangelize. So going back to what we said, the church age is the time or any time in which people are being saved. And so we had to remember that the things that that were being seen during the time of the 144,000 is still inclusive of the church age, and it is going well into the tribulation period to be distinguished from the wrath of God, which is not, we're getting to that, that's going to be in the seventh seal, which we have been discussing. We were talking about the fifth trumpet last week. So the trumpets are part of, but not inclusive of the wrath. And they're part of the Great Tribulation, but not inclusive of the wrath of God. Going back real quick, we're going to cover a few things. Revelations chapter 6, 12 through 13, and we're talking about some of the things happening in that seal. And then chapter 7, verses 2 through 4. And we spent some time also talking about the Philadelphia church. Why? Because the Philadelphia church was the only church that made the rapture. All the others had notable flaws that disqualified them from the rapture. And we needed to make sure that we understand that it is very important as we are in this age to try every spirit. We talk about 1 John chapter 4, or verse 4. And there's still tremendous fear that is coming upon the world and is trying to control and bombard the saints. And the goal of the adversary is to do all he can to take advantage of the church. So we went back and talked about Revelations chapter 3, verse 8 with the Philadelphia church and how a door was open to them. And we made the comments about the fact that it was them doing. He said, Yeshua said, I know your works. And it was those works that opened the door for them. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, Yahushua says, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? And we talked about the importance of how Yeshua only spoke what his father said. And we have Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23, where individuals were crying out to him, Lord, Lord, did we not do this in your name? He said, why do you call me Lord? You know, these things that you're doing are good works, yes, but you're lacking the God works. I'm paraphrasing here. We want to make sure that we're doing what we need to be doing. We talked about the great white throne judgment and how we'll be judged by the books, plural. And when it says books, we are understanding that it's the books of the Word of God, the five books of Torah. And Torah is still a crucial and important key into what we're discussing and what we're living in this time. So we're going to be continuing with our discussion on the trumpets. And at this time, I'm going to go ahead and pass this back to Rabbi John.
Amen and amen. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I have to apologize because I'm really pumped right now. I'm really excited because I see not only what we're talking about, what are we talking about? Pastor Andre, these things are changing the direction, the scope, the mindset. They're changing the way we think. They are a disruptor. In the economy, analysts talk about disruptor trends, you know, talking about the internet. It was a disruptor. It changed the way, the scope of the way that we do business. Well, these fields do even greater than that. And in the seventh seal where we are, Pastor Andre, this particular seal for those that will be left here on the earth, let's make sure that's very clear. You want to make sure that you get your ticket, and you want to make sure that you maintain your ticket, because you don't want to be here when the seventh seal is open. You don't want to be here when the great tribulation is beginning to roar and beginning to deal with all of those things, excuse me, all of those things that deal from a macro level. There'll be macro earthquakes and macro storms and tsunamis and all types of things happening. These are macro. You don't want to be there when that happens. Now, one of the things that we talked about that I want to start off with is let's go to Revelation chapter 11, and we're going to read verse 19, okay? Now, we know that the seals were open, and we know that they started, Yeshua, Jesus, started opening the seals in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 8. Now, once the seals, all of them, all seven of them were opened, now in chapter 8 all the way to chapter 11, we're dealing with the subcategory, a subset. If you're taking copious notes, if you're trying to get all of this down in outline, I love outlines myself. All right, so if you're doing outline, or if you're trying to outline the book Revelations, which we are doing, by the way, all right, then you should have at the top, you should have, you know, seal 1 all the way to seal 7. But then when you get to seal 7, then you're going to have under that a subcategory. Now, the subcategory for seal 7 is the seven trumpets that we've been talking about. That's the subcategory, excuse me. Okay? Now, under the seventh trumpet, at the seventh trumpet, you're going to have another subcategory at the seventh trumpet. So if you look at your seals, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals. Under the seventh seal, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trumpets. Under the seventh trumpet, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 plagues. Seven vowels, seven bowls. The bowls or the vowels are synonymous to the same thing, okay, of the wrath of God. So you've got three sets of seven. Seven seals, seven trumpets, seven bowls or vowels, or last plagues of Yah, okay? So we're going to pick it up at Revelation chapter 11, verse 19.
Okay. This is King James Version. The bowl of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in this temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail.
Amen. So we talked about that particular passage, having to let my dogs out. Who let the dogs out? Rabbi John. All right. We talked about this particular passage, and we made a statement that we're going to pick back up on and then clarify even more. And that was Revelation chapter 15, verse 5, and Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. So as Pastor Andre is getting those two passages ready to read, I want you to understand that this is a connection. Not only is it a connection, but it goes into more detail. Remember we said seven seals, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven seals. And under the seventh seal was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven trumpets. And under the seventh trumpet is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, seven bowls of vials of the last plagues of the full wrath of God. Now, under that last seven, that's culminated in chapter 15 and chapter 16, more specifically. So chapter 16 has every single one of the bowls that are going to be poured out. Okay? Chapter 15 connects to chapter 16, and chapter 16 and 15 connect to chapter 11. If we were to write the book Revelation, right after chapter 11 would be chapter 15. Chapter 12, 13, and 14 would not be where it is right now. If we were looking at it congruently as it is happening on the screen of our lives here on earth, it would be chapter 11, then chapter 15, then chapter 16. Okay? And then chapter 17 and chapter 18. That's the way it would be. And you'll see this in the manner and the way that it flows. So Pastor Andre is going to read chapter 15, verse 5. And then he's going to read chapter 16, verse 1. And both of those are talking about, and they're showing the picture of what was already read in chapter 11, verse 19. They start with that picture. They illuminate that picture of being able to see the temple of God open in heaven. And the reason why is because the Father wants the people on earth to see exactly what they are about to receive. He wants there to be no misunderstanding as to who is in charge and who is mandating these plagues upon them. And the sad part about it, Pastor Andre, when we get to it, and you already know it, but you'll see it as you read it. They did not repent. In fact, they cursed God, the one who had the ability to give them pardon. If you could please read Revelation chapter 15, verse 5, and also Revelation chapter 16, verse 1.
Yes, sir. First verse, chapter 15, verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth.
So now we're going to pick it up. We're going to go back and pick up chapter 15 going from verse 1 all the way through. I think it has 8 verses.
Okay. Starting with verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O thou King of the saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. This is verse 5. And after I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts came unto the seven angels, gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. Verse 8, in the last verse here. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled.
Okay. There's quite a bit in here, so we're going to take it in bite sizes. But one of the things that stood out that I want to deal with and I want to talk about first is the fact that it is understood here. And a lot of people ask, you know, I even thought, you know, early in my my believing walk to ask the same question, and that is anybody going to make it through the tribulation? Is anybody going to be able to stand before God? Is anybody going to be able to do that? And what I realized is this. I realized that this particular passage of Scripture is clear. There will be individuals that will make it, and not just 144,000. Keep in mind, 144,000 are evangelists that will, the Hebraic evangelists, DNA Israelis, who will begin to evangelize and begin to win souls, many souls, for the kingdom. That would be, and that will be, for those of you that are looking for the last harvest, that will be the last harvest. Okay? Now, many of them, as well as others, will make it through. It said it talked about the mark of the beast, did it not, Pastor Andre?
It did. Who overcame the mark of the beast? Yep.
Right. So they're going to overcome the mark of the beast. They're going to overcome his name. They're going to overcome submitting to his regime. Now, it's not going to be easy by any stretch of anybody's imagination. But they will overcome it, and they will overcome the great tribulation period. I want to make sure everybody understands this. This is not God's best by any stretch, but it's there to let you know that even through all of that non-heaven that is going to happen on the earth, there is still hope, and there's still opportunity for salvation. Not until God closes up heaven, like it says here in the latter part of chapter 15. Okay? Because in the latter part of chapter 15, when he closes up heaven, it's because he has given mankind every opportunity imaginable in order to fulfill what they needed to fulfill as far as redemption, to no avail. So because of that particular aspect of where we are now and where in this particular passage, he has shut the doors. He's closed the spiritual ark, if you will, and he is allowing the full force of his wrath to manifest upon the earth and upon the people of the earth. That is really important for us to understand going forward, okay? Now we're going to jump into chapter 16, and then chapter 16 is going to open up. It's going to give us an understanding of these bowls, of these vials, of these last plagues, exactly what these last plagues are and the intensity of the horror that will be felt upon the earth based upon these very last plagues. Pastor Andre?
All right. And starting with verse 1 again?
Yes, starting with verse 1 again.
And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went, poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, just, true, and righteous are thy judgments. Verse 8. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And here's coming up on 15 here. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Verse 16. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, which as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague and the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. That's the end.
And that talent, the weight of a talent, for the hail, is approximately 100 pounds. So that means that particular, those hailstones, were approximately 100 pounds each that was being hurled to the earth that would easily kill a man without question, and homes and things of that nature. Okay, so let's go back and let's look at the very first plague and then break that down. And we'll break it plague by plague by plague. Also keep this in mind. Right. This is happening during the time that the two witnesses are here. Why do I say that? Because we know and understand from other scriptures that the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. Now, in Matthew chapter 17, okay, verses 1 and 2, they have a conversation with Yeshua as he was transfigured. As he was transfigured, they're having a conversation with him, and they're explaining to him and giving him an update of what is going to happen, thus coming, futuristic. So it's imperative that we get this, that we understand, and that we begin to realize, first of all, that Jesus was a man, and understand that he didn't know everything, okay? He had to be informed, not only by God himself, but he had to be informed by the and infused with power by the angels. Now, the plagues are plagues that associate themselves with Moses, the prophet. The fire that burns individuals that's talked about in Revelations chapter 8, and Revelations chapter 11, that is associated with Elijah, okay? Because during Elijah's time on earth, that was one of the manners in which he ministered his the judgment of God, was by burning individuals, you know. And likewise with Moses, his were the plagues with Egypt. And if you go ahead and look back and do a theological analysis or a cross-reference, you'll see that they refer to one another. So let's go with the first plague, if you could read that one, and then we'll commentate on that.
And so here we have, first wind. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image.
Keep this in mind. Nothing is happening to those believers who have the mark of God. Those believers who were converted by the 144,000. Nothing is happening to them. None of these plagues are affecting them. You would think, okay, you would think that if you're dealing with individuals of this type of rebellion and they suffer this type of pain, that they too get redeemed and be a part of those individuals that are marked with the mark of God. But I know that it's been taught by different scholars, and it's because it's biblical. Anyone who takes the mark of the beast, they are done for. There's no repentance. There's no opportunity to say, well, you know, I made a mistake. No. You take the mark of the beast, you receive the punishment of the beast. You receive the punishment of Satan. You receive the punishment of the false prophet. You have sealed your fate. Imperative that you understand and that those who you love understand that if they don't make the rapture, do not take the mark of the beast, because whosoever takes the mark of the beast will receive all of these plagues. Remember, in one of the trumpets, I think it was the fifth trumpet, right? God would not allow them to die. He wanted to make sure that they felt all of the pain and suffering of that particular trumpet. Am I right, Pastor Andre?
That's right. It said that they sought death and couldn't find it.
Could not find it. Don't take the mark of the beast.
So the next one, verse 3, is the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea.
No different. All of these are very similar plagues, but on a global, massive scale. This is massive. This is worldwide. This is not just an event that happened in Egypt in yesteryear sometime. This and every single one of these plagues, every single one of the bowls, the vials that are opened upon the earth affect the whole earth instantaneously. It's not like a wave or a tsunami that goes from here to there. It happens globally, instantaneously, all at once. Next plague.
Verse 4, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood.
So there is no drinking water.
Mm-mm.
Except for where the people of God that have the mark of God upon their forehead preserve them. This is going to be the classic Goshen versus Egypt scenario, but it's going to be global. It's going to be on a massive scale, unprecedented. No different, but so much more impactful than the COVID-19. That is an unprecedented global event that is changing the economic world. This will change every aspect of everything in the world. Next plague.
Okay, so now we're on the fourth angel. Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire.
I hope that you're beginning to understand the gravity. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I didn't know if you want me to continue reading. Go ahead, sir.
got I, the gravity of something greater than a sunburn, you know, by laying out on the beach. This is it's going to be in the area of 3-degree burns, skin graft, in order to just get yourself back to some normal similitude of a human being visually. It will be horrendous. Go ahead, sir.
Continue with this one?
Yes, please.
Okay. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory.
Now, what does that tell you? I'm sorry, it's so ludicrous, it's so insane that it just causes me to chuckle in a state of just looking at this from a point of reference. And, you know, the word really just keeps coming out. Really? You guys mm-hmm. are going to curse the one that could actually take this and help you to be relieved from all of your pain? Pastor Andre, I'm speechless. Please help me.
Yeah, it's dumbfounded, but it reminds me of when I can't remember who said it, but it was something we talked about recently, actually, where it says, if you're wicked, you know, still be wicked. If you're righteous, be righteous. Mm-hmm. If you're holy, be holy. And it's like there's a point in which, you know, it's like your heart is hardened, or it's maintained in whatever state it was, and there's no opportunity
right.
to change. And it's just, it reminds me of like Pharaoh's heart being hardened. And
mm-hmm.
there they are. They
That's
just
right.
cannot fathom giving God glory. So they just rebel, and they just take it, and they turn
yeah.
away.
And you're right. And that's chapter 22. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of the 11th to the 12th verse that you were talking about there. But yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
just, it's sad. It's sad. But keep in mind, you take the mark of the beast and it changes your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your mindset. It literally changes your mindset. They are working right now, I'm talking about in our day, with a type of serum that they can give to an individual that challenges their belief in God. Literally challenges their belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
And tries to change their thoughts and intents of the heart through the serum that they have available, that they will give to those who they consider radical and those who they consider a threat. That's already here now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they're trying to concoct. It's something they already have. So how much more with the mark of the beast being something that chemically changes your DNA? Your mindset, your thought patterns, your beliefs. Maybe that is one of many reasons why Yah says when you do that, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
The you is done. The actual soul, the actual being inside the body has been manipulated and perverted in such a way to where it cannot, in the natural, be undone. Next plague.
Okay, so we're now on 5, the fifth angel. I'm going to read verse 10. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain.
All of these are similitude, but in a grander scale, of the plagues that God gave to Moses.
Okay, the sixth angel, verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Excuse me.
Now, the way of the kings of the east is referring to, in this, when you use the theological analysis again and go ahead and kind of cross-reference. This is talking about the 200 million man army, which I believe and some others believe, is China. And the Euphrates River is the river that hinders them from actually being able to march from there all the way to Israel. Because remember, this is setting up the grand scheme for Armageddon. That still has, that's the final battle, at least within the tribulation period, Great Tribulation period. So this is setting that up. And don't forget that there's got to be some type of carrot, if you will. There's got to be some kind of incentive. And the incentive is the amount of oil that it already has been found, but also is going to be exploited. And individuals are going to want that. The kings from the north are going to want that oil supply. The kings from the east, China, are going to want that oil supply. They're going to need it. And they're going to be prompted by the demonic realm to take it by force. Next slide.
All right, so here we are coming on the seventh file. The seventh verse, this is verse 17, chapter 16 of Revelation. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great.
And which vial is this one? Again?
This was the seventh angel pouring out, pouring his vial.
Okay. Now, what is being done? The wrath of God is being done. It's finished.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting ready to go into the final battle with Yeshua and his own horses in chapter 19. Coming to battle here. Okay? So if you're taking notes, and I like to be redundant, so just bear with me. If you're taking notes, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 seals at the top. And then after that 7th seal, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trumpets under the 7th seal. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 bowls or vials, which are the last plagues of God's full wrath. Then after that last plague, then the Armageddon manifestation, the last war, is going to happen. That's where you would connect chapter 19. So if you were making your notes for yourself as far as how to read through incongruency and keeping everything congruent so it makes sense, once you start to open up the seals in chapter 6, verse 1, you're going to go through chapter 6, then you're going to go to chapter 7. At the end of chapter 7 will be the last, will be the sixth seal, okay, and the last opportunity. Because that will be where the Philadelphia church, and only the Philadelphia church out of all of the churches, will be raptured for the finishing of the wedding. It's an ancient Jewish wedding. Then we jump into Acts chapter 8, and Acts chapter 8 is the seventh seal being opened. Then we'll go through the seventh seal all the way to Acts chapter 11. It also, in Acts chapter 11, picks up and talks about the two witnesses and begins to give you a little bit more clarity with them and about them. Then from there, instead of reading chapter 12, that's my air conditioner going off. It's kind of nice outside, so I figured I'd just kind of go outside and just kind of enjoy the weather before it gets too hot. After chapter 11, we jump to chapter 15. If we're reading it as a flow and keeping it contextually together, okay? Then we will go and read chapter 15. We'll go and read chapter 16. After chapter 16, which is the last plague of the seven plagues under the seventh trumpet, which is under the seventh seal, then we go and jump to chapter 19. Because in chapter 19 is when the actual battle, the last battle, happens. Pastor Andre, I'll let you kind of reflect on that, if you would, and any thoughts you may have thus far.
Sure. So it's really interesting breaking all of this down, and having the outline that you just gave helps. And I hope that everyone goes back and actually reads it in the way that we have been going through this, because you do begin to see how things connect and how the flow goes. There are different parts in which there's a pause, and he discusses things that are happening, but when you read it in the linear fashion that we've described here, it makes everything fall into place. One of the things that Rabbi got me as we're reading through some of these plagues is how after many of them, it, as we noted earlier, it says, and they did not, and they would not repent. I was just looking at how many and see if I can count them, but there were several of them. And you just begin to wonder, you know, why did it get so bad? Why did it get like this? And of course, we talked about the mark of the beast and all the things that they were partaking in. It's almost as if they could not go back. And we've already covered this, but it's still just kind of lingering in my mind here. But one of the things that is, again, a hope and also something to look forward to is the fact that this is not created for the bride of Christ. And as the rabbi said earlier, we want to make sure that we keep and have that ticket and keep it with us and make sure we maintain that ticket. So that's really one of the things that it's like, if we get anything from this, remember, we do not want to be here for this. Rabbi.
I totally concur with you. And it's, you know, having the wisdom or the knowledge and the understanding of all of these things is fantastic. It's wonderful. But it means absolutely nothing if we miss the rapture. Mm-hmm. It means absolutely nothing. It would be better for us to never have gotten this kind of revelation and make the rapture than it is to have all this revelation and then miss the rapture. I don't know about you, but I know about me, and I know that I am steadily, continually, forcibly cleansing my spiritual house to make sure that I make it in. That when the door is open, the spiritual door of heaven is open, and God says, come up hither, that I am able to come. That there's no spot or blemish on my garment. That is the single most important thing that anyone in the presence of what we're teaching right now needs to take away from this. It is that important. It is too dangerous right now on the earth. There are so many believers that are just going to and fro seeking for a word, seeking for a prophetic this or that or what have you, and missing the very underlining call of God for righteousness and holiness. Those should be the banner on your heart and your minds every day you wake up and every day you get ready to go to sleep. You need to, when you wake up, you need to speak forth and proclaim that righteousness and that holiness over you and over your life and over your family, and ask for the Lord by way of His Spirit, His Ruach HaKodesh, to guide you into righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is that the thing that the Father, not the Son, but the thing that the Father requires and approves of. Pastor Andre was talking about Matthew chapter 7 earlier when he was doing his recap. And they did good works, but they didn't do God works. God works is Torah. I know that flies in the face of a lot of Christian beliefs, but we need to get over it. And that we need to get into what Yah is saying. When you go back and read verse 23, you'll see that he says, "You workers of iniquity." That was a word that was placed there by the writer who revised the scriptures. But it hides what Yeshua is actually saying. You who are practicing Torahlessness, lawlessness, things that are not according to the marriage contract, according to what the Father says is what he expects. Those things are imperative for us to be walking right with God. Don't hide behind Jesus and expect Jesus to protect you when it comes to the rapture and when it comes to you saying, "Yeah, but I did these things. Let me into the holy city. Let me into the New Jerusalem." The New Jerusalem, the holy city, is only for the bride. The marriage contract is Torah. The feasts are non-negotiable for the bride. The friend, they're negotiable. The servant, they're negotiable. If you want to be a servant, if you only want to be a friend, then you don't have to listen to anything we're saying. Live your life and see how far your life gets you. But if you truly want to be a bride, if you truly want to qualify as the Philadelphia church without spot or blemish, then understand as a bride, you're going to have to give up all of your single ways. And you're going to have to submit to the marriage contract of your spiritual husband, which is Yeshua. Yeshua will not marry a wife who is not submitted and committed to him. He will not. He will not present her to his Father in heaven. This is what we must do. And before we close, I want to say this. When you look at chapter 13 and chapter 14, chapter 13 and chapter 14, if you were taking notes and you wanted to know, well, where does chapter 13 and 14 go? That would go in the sixth seal. Because that is giving you an explanation of the sixth seal and the events that will happen when the sixth seal opens. Because that talks about the rise of the Antichrist. It talks about the mark of the beast. It talks about the false prophet. It talks about the 144,000. And then it talks about the actual rapture. And then at the end of chapter 14, around verse 19, it goes into detail with talking about the seventh seal and the wrath of God. Correction, not detail, but it opens up with the seventh seal. And the rest of the individuals that are left on the earth are compiled together for the wrath of God. So we'll conclude with that. And we'll pick it up and then begin to sort out the rest of the chapters so that you can have an organized chart, if you will, outline. Of what, if we were to keep it in contextual analysis, if we do a contextual analysis and we keep it in a contextual format where all of these congruently connect with one another and flow, that's a good little chart to have. And we're making that chart for you. We're making it available for you if you're taking notes. So that as you begin to read the book Revelation, not only will it make sense, but it will also give you a roadmap so that you can know where we are right now. Pastor Andre, could you conclude for us?
Thank you, Rabbi.
Close.
Yes, sir. And thank you for bringing us to you today. For everyone, if this is your first time listening, or maybe it's your 11th time listening, we want to thank you for joining us today. and engaging in this word. It is a sobering word, and I want everyone to realize, yes, we feel it too. It's sobering. But we want to encourage you to study these things and be Bereans. We want you to take this home and see if these things are true, but also have conversations with your family and discuss the importance of preparing yourself as a bride. And we've gone into detail on many of those things. And if you would like more information on the qualifications or what's necessary to walk as a bride in this time, please contact us at Congregation Beth Hashem, of course, but office@BethHashem.org. If you have any questions or would like to even receive our weekly newsletter, or if you just simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, please email us. We'd be happy to hear from you. You can visit our website, and we have some details there. And, of course, that's Beth Hashem, BethHashem.org. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. Again, if you would like a deeper understanding of the Hebraic roots of the faith, we have a college, the Chai University of Learning, which offers courses in Messianic Apologetics and Biblical Jewish Studies at courses.bethhashem.org. Finally, we want to go ahead and I'll give you opportunity, if you'd like to give, you can donate via Cash App, www.cashapp.com, just as it sounds, cashapp.com, cashapp.com, and that's /$ Beth Hashem, all one word, lowercase. Or you can mail a contribution to office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And thank you very much for those of you who have partnered and given to this ministry. We appreciate it very much. We say thank you to you all. At this time, we're going to close with our After Torah blessing. And then we have our Aaronic benediction. And then we'll give to Rabbi John for our closing prayer. So without much further ado, we'll have our After Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu toret emet. Vachaye olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga, Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen, amen. I'll go ahead with the Aaronic benediction, and Rabbi, I'll have you pass right back to you after this blessing.
Amen.
So this blessing comes from Numbers chapter 6, everyone, and what we are desiring is for Yah's name to be with us, to cover our families. So if, after this, even in your own homes, if you agree with the words of this prayer, just give a hearty amen for yourself and for your family.
Yivorechecha Yehua veyishmerecha Yair Yehua panavelecha vichunecha Yisayahua panavalecha beyasem lecha shalom.
May Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious upon you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi?
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, as the words begin to really rivet through our soul, as we're beginning to really ask you to look and see if there's any wicked thing in us to take it out, if there's anything that would offend, that would hinder, and that would cause you to turn away from us, we ask that you remove it right now in the name of Yeshua. Father, we need you. We must have you. We must have that relationship that you desire. We are desiring you. We know that you desire us. We know that you loved us. We know that you gave Yeshua as a ransom, as a price for us. But we are in need of you. Let us not be so caught up in the things of this world that we lose sight, that we lose love, that we lose relationship with you in the manner and the way that you desire. We lay everything aside right now in the name of Yeshua. Everything aside. And we say, have your way. Have your way. So that we may be pure. So that we may be clean. So we may be who you desire. And if the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart was acceptable to you, and the teachings that you placed in me was acceptable to you, then set a fire ablaze in the hearts and the minds of the hearers, of those that hear, that set a blaze in their heart of hearts. Let them not have any rest until they answer the call on their life. We're running out of time, Father. And the transition is so difficult in the natural to bear. We need your spiritual strength, your power to make it through. In Yahushua's name we pray. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.